Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us.
May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who calls us into everlasting hope, who guides us to the springs of water of life, who enlightens us with spirit of wisdom. One with the communion of saints in all times and places, let us confess our sin against God and one another. O God, our merciful Redeemer, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you and for his sake. God forgives you all your sin. Blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad, beloved people of God. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God,
our Father, your generous goodness comes to us new every day. By the work of your Spirit, lead us to acknowledge your goodness, with thanks to your benefits, and serve you.
First reading is from the Old Testament prophet Joel, beginning in chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I send against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Second reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at the first verse. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right, and it is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord. We will now stand for the proclamation of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew from the 6th chapter. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Tomorrow, we observe Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving is a uniquely American holiday, keeping alive a tradition started by the Pilgrims and having an annual feast and celebration of the year at close of the harvest season. Even though one of the reasons the Pilgrims came to America was to be free to practice Christianity in the manner of their choosing, Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday. Therefore, today's message will be part sermon, part history, part comparison of the original Thanksgiving and how we celebrate tomorrow, and about how we, the American people of today, are facing similar challenges to those faced by the Pilgrims. Last week, in the Wall Street Journal, a cartoon appeared showing two Indians approaching the table to join the pilgrims. One Indian whispers to the other, "Don't talk politics." All of us know that this might not be a good thing to talk of at a meal of Thanksgiving, but chances are politics was discussed at the first one. Now, it is traditional on this day to eat a big meal, watch the Macy's parade, and a football game. Now, we may partake of what we believe to be a meal similar to that which the pilgrims ate in November 1631. Research has shown that their feast had waterfowl, venison, ham, lobster, berries, fruit, pumpkins, squash, and cornbread. Now that sounds like a real feast. But did you notice what was missing? What we today consider Thanksgiving fare. No turkey, no cranberry sauce, nothing made with wheat flour. These people were from Europe. They had no experience with turkeys, but they did know geese and ducks. And these were readily available as it was November, and geese and ducks were migrating to the south. And history indicates that cranberries were considered inedible until 30 years later when an unknown cook discovered that boiling cranberries with sugar made them edible. The pilgrims were celebrating not so much the harvest than the fact they had made it through their first year in America. They had spent 66 days in a three-deck boat, 80 foot long and 12 foot wide. I asked Clarence, from this wall to the door to the patio is about 80 feet. It was that long. 12 feet is a little less the length of the back pew. In this space, 102 pilgrims and 30 crew lived. And as was usual on such a trip, there was birth and there was death. They landed in November, too late to plant crops. And even if they had arrived in the spring, of the occupations listed for the pilgrims, only one is shown to be a planter. They survived the first year until their meager crops were harvested on hunting and gathering and the kindness of friendly Indians. They had experienced a terrible year settling into a harsh environment, living under a dysfunctional and faraway government, dealing with sometimes unfriendly nations, the Indian tribes. And some of those Indians would probably equate the people landing on their shore as undocumented aliens who would be rivals for their freedom and bounties that the Indians were enjoying. The first Thanksgiving was a feast to celebrate, first, that they had survived a terrible year. The comfort level was better than it had been, and they celebrated their optimism for their future and the American people. Tomorrow, as we observe and celebrate Thanksgiving, very little of what despite careful planning, I got two pages upside down. our expense would be similar to that of the pilgrims. They did not eat turkey and cranberry sauce. We probably will. They ate geese, ducks, and venison. We probably won't. Both they and us did, and we can have pumpkin pie and squash. What we do share with the participants in the original Thanksgiving is a terrible year. I'm speaking of the American people as a nation, not to individuals who have, in addition to national woes, their own, which may make them thankful that the year is over. The things we shared with the pilgrims have been environmental: fire, floods, drought, bad harvests, or if a farmer had a good harvest, low prices for his products, unfriendly nations. The pilgrims' roads were mere trails. Our roads are in need of constant repair. Those of us living in the Metroplex may at times wonder if MacArthur or 183 are becoming trails. We have shared a dysfunctional government, uninvited aliens who want to share in what America offers. While the pilgrims may have had skirmishes with some Indian nations, we have been at war for nearly 20 years. During most of this time, we took comfort in the knowledge that the war was far away. But since September 11, 2001, war in various shapes and sizes has taken place here in America. This war has a new name: terrorism. It's a war that at any moment can attack any American. Any American, from birth to very old age, can be the target. Often, this war against American people is the action of only one delusional, dysfunctional individual. Mass shootings in Las Vegas, at schools scattered across our country, in businesses. Yes, we share some of these things with the pilgrims, but our list is much longer. We, the American people, are not a race. You can't just look at somebody and, well, they're white European and they're over here, so they must be American. American people are a huge mix of all races, colors, all religions, of people with no religion. Our belief and ours are anyone's God. This is the mix that comprises the American people. But for all these differences, Americans are easily recognized by other Americans. Betty and I have remarked what the American people look like. Go to Whole Foods and observe the different races and styles of dress. And usually we can recognize that these people are their ancestors, originated somewhere else, but now are part of the American people. We also noticed when traveling in Europe, when seeing different races or styles of clothing, we often knew if that person is an American, no matter race, color, or place of origin. Americans move with a certain poise, confidence, and pride. This is all in being an American. Unfortunately, some Americans tend to swagger. One doesn't need to see a passport to recognize them as Americans. I've been fortunate to travel in over 50 countries over the last 60 years. And believing someone to be American is easy for me, no matter the race or color of the person. On a bus in Zurich fairly recently, I noticed a young black couple sitting across the aisle from Betty and I. The man was talking to the conductor and had a slight Caribbean accent, but his manner of conversation was pure American. I leaned across the aisle and said, "Hello, fellow American." He grinned and said, "How did you know?" "Yeah, I'm from Atlanta, but I immigrated from Haiti. How did you know I was American?" I tried to explain, and we spent the rest of the trip discussing who else on the bus were Americans. We usually agreed upon who was and who was not. Despite all the differences that go into the melting pot to be Americans, we share one important thing, as the pilgrims did. And it is our optimism for the future. For this, we can give thanks. The American people are optimistic. We tend to feel, no matter how bad things may be, things will get better. If our party is out of office, we're optimistic that next election we'll win. If the home team loses, we're optimistic that the next game they'll win. If our parish loses members due to death or relocation, we're optimistic that birth and new members will replace our loss. As a parish, we are optimistic that the call committee will call a new pastor to guide our flock, as well as Pastor Lindemann, Carol, Phil, and Keebler have done. Please tomorrow express your thanks for our optimism, and in your prayers give thanks for being able to share some, if not all, the traditions of the first Thanksgiving. To quote from today's second reading, 1 Timothy verse 1 and 2, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in our godliness and dignity. Let us pray. God, please accept our thanksgiving for the opportunity we have and share as American people. Please guide us to be good stewards of that opportunity, and guide us to follow a often heard motto of our people: in God we trust. Amen.
God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. God of grace and glory, you provide teachers and heralds to proclaim your gospel throughout the world. We give you thanks for the church and its leaders, that through their work we can rejoice in your goodness. Lord, in your mercy. You brought forth creation and filled it with plants and animals, seas and skies. We give you thanks for fruit-bearing trees, abundant harvest, rain, soil, birds, lilies, and everything you provide. Lord, in your mercy. You desire that all shall have a peaceable life. We give you thanks for civil servants and volunteers, political and social leaders, and all people in authority, and we pray that they work for justice. Lord, in your mercy. You count all humankind worthy of care. We give you thanks for those who work in medical professions, and through their skills, you provide healing, consolation, and well-being. Today we pray especially for those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy, you ground our lives in the love of Christ. We give you thanks that you protect travelers and those absent from worship and reveal yourselves to us in our holiday celebrations. Reveal yourself also to those who spend this holiday alone. Lord, in your mercy, you promise us life in your kingdom through the resurrection of Christ. We give you thanks for the saints who have gone before us and continue to inspire us in our lives of faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Hear our prayers, spoken and silent, that we commend to you this day, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please do share the peace.
thanksgiving. Fill us with your love. Let that love flow through us to others and join us to the saints before us in holy and boundless communion through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and so with all the choirs of angels and the church on earth and heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed. Our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim Lord's death until he comes." Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sins, may be formed to live in your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
As we were taught, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Sovereign God, in this meal you give us a foretaste of the great feast to come. Keep us faithful to you that we, with your saints, may at length celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb, Jesus Christ our Lord.
The love of God surround you, the grace of Christ release you, and the Holy Spirit be your guide and strength, now and forevermore.
Amen.